with God's help for this afternoon's meditation hour. Let us all together read from Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 20. Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 20. Let's read first 26 verses. Sveto evanđelje po Luci, 20. glava, prvih 26 stihova. Bogu na hvalu i na čast. Luke chapter 20, verse 26 verses. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, Tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then believed ye him not? But then if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, Neither tell I you, but what authority I do these things. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also, and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind them to powder. And the chief priests and scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful to give us, for us to give tribute unto Caesar, or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Show me a penny, whose image and superscription had it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace.
Gracious God, our Father in heaven, we come before thee knowing, Lord, that we are bowing before the one true Almighty God. And so therefore we would come before thee in sobriety with reverence, Lord, toward thy most high and holy name. Father, we acknowledge thee that there is no other God like unto thee. Lord, Thou art from everlasting to everlasting. We glorify thee as such. And so, Father, we just give thee the thanks for who thou art and praise thee, Lord, for all the things, Lord, that thou hast done and dost continue to do, Lord, not only in our generation, but from everlasting to everlasting. And so we marvel at when we read through thy word, Lord, of who thou art and the things that thou dost do. We are thankful that thou art mindful of us, and we are thankful, Lord, that we can come before thee and bring our petitions directly before thee, and that thou dost hear our prayer. Lord, we are thankful, Lord, that we have our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us, and we give thee thanks for this gift of life that we have through him. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, that as we have heard that the message this morning, a story, Lord, that never grows old and grows in power each and every time we hear it. Father, we thank thee, Lord, that we have heard of the reason that Jesus Christ has come and that he might be that supreme sacrifice and that he would go as a lamb silent before his shears. And so, Father, we just pray, O God, that we would ever give thee our heartfelt thanks and praise and honor and gratitude for that which thou hast done for us in sending Jesus Christ. And we are thankful now that as we have read this afternoon, Lord, of his teachings, Lord, and how he is that authority, and he has come here upon this earth, and he does know thee, the Father, and he was relaying to them what thy message to them would be. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, that we would take heed to the words of Jesus Christ, and that we would then not only hear what Jesus would speak unto us, Father, but then that we would be followers, the followers of that faithful shepherd of whom we have sung of. Thankful, Lord, for all the things that thou hast directed our path in and the multitude of blessings that we receive in thy pasture. And so we give thee thanks and praise and honor. Father, we pray, Lord, for those who have struggles and great struggles in this life, Lord, that thou wouldst provide for them. Lord, even use us as thou wouldst see fit, Father, to do what thou wouldst have us to do. And Lord, help us to forbear and to be forgiving and merciful one with another. And Lord, that thy kingdom would prosper here upon this earth. And so, Father, there are many things that we can ask of thee. Thou knowest our needs altogether well and better than we know our needs ourselves. And so we just commit all of that to thee, knowing that thou wilt provide far above that which our asking would even be. And so we just pray, Lord, that thou wouldst attend to us, and may we continue to have that innocent and but yet strong faith in thee, trusting in thee for everything. And now we would pray for our brother, Lord, as he would bring forth a message, Lord, that thou wouldst use him, Lord, in thy hands, Father, and that he might have a message, Lord, that would be inspired by thy Holy Spirit, and that we would hear what thy message for us would be. These things we do ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
This morning we heard a beautiful message of God's love. He sent his only Son to die for our own sins, our mistakes that we have committed, the weaknesses, the faults that we had. We were blind, we were without hope, we were lost, and the only way for us to come to God was through Jesus Christ, through the cross where he suffered for our sins. Brother prayed this morning. He said it wasn't when he died, when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't the end of the story. The story just begun. It was the beginning of story, beginning of our salvation, beginning of our own story. As a child of God. When Jesus resurrected, so did we. When we received the Holy Spirit, when we were baptized, it's the beginning of our new life in the Lord. We all know the story of after Jesus died, The two that went to Emmaus, the place, the city, and they were a little bit confused. They were with Jesus. They saw his miracles that he had done. They heard the preaching. They knew he was mighty in word and power and authority. And he died, and they thought that was the end of the story. We know how Jesus joined himself to them as they were walking. And of course, they did not recognize him. They did not know who he was. Their eyes were shut, so to speak. They did not know who he was. So Jesus asked him, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Are you one of the strangers that does not know what happened here?" So we know, as the story goes, that he asked him, "What things?" So they say that there's Jesus of Nazareth, the mighty man in power and in knowledge and authority. And maybe I'm not quoting it exactly right, but he says how he died, and this is the third day that he's been dead. So they thought that was the end of it. He was mighty, powerful, but it's done. He's been dead. It's over. They did not realize at that time that that was just the beginning. And of course, Jesus admonished them, and then he opened their eyes so that they can see who he really was. Jesus has done so much for his people, for the Israelites, for God's people. And you know, they rejected him. Even in this chapter, in part of this chapter, he speaks about how God sends so many prophets to remind people, to admonish them, to bring them back. And they rejected them. As we read, that they beat some of them. They killed some of them. So part of this chapter, it says that a certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to a husbandman, someone to take care of the vineyard, and went into a far country for a long time. When the season came, sent a servant to a husbandman that they should go and get the fruit of the vineyard. And they beat him, sent them away empty. So he sent another. So many times God sent prophets to the people. So many different ways, so many different times. And they never, never accepted him. So God says, it says right here in verse 13, and the Lord said to the vineyard, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son, then maybe that they will reverence him when they see him, his own son, of the master of the vineyard." But the husbandmen didn't think that way. They reasoned, it says here, among themselves, saying, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours." So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Why did they cast him out of the vineyard? Why did they kill him and leave him there as they wanted to do? What does the Word of God tell us? Why did they cast him out? It's related to the Old Testament in Exodus. But also, Apostle Paul reminds us in Hebrews, he speaks about it. Hebrews 13, verse 11, he says, "For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside of the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. So this was prophesied, that he may sanctify the people with his own blood. He suffered outside of the gate. So they killed him and took him outside of the vineyard. Verse 16, he shall come and destroy these husbandmen. Because the question was, what will the Lord do to these people that constantly rejected God, that rejected his own son? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. Who are those others? Those are the Gentiles. Those are us. We are the ones that were others. We were the ones that had no way of coming in to the temple. We would be stuck in the court of the Gentiles. We would not be able to come in and have salvation. But because Israelites rejected God, as we know, Apostle Paul, he preached to the Gentiles. He turned unto the Gentiles. So the doors were open unto us too. And we should be very, and I'm sure we are very, very glad and thankful that we were able to find salvation through the blood that was shed for our sins. But when Jesus came and he preached glad tidings, before they killed him, he was teaching in the temple every single day. And not everything is written. Even Apostle Paul says, if everything would be written, the whole world wouldn't contain all the books. So there was so much that he taught the people. He did so many miracles and wonders. And yet, the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and elders, the chief priests, they always tried to find some kind of a fault against him so that they can destroy him. Even in this chapter, the beginning of this chapter, he says that, and it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people, that means he taught the people constantly. He was preaching in the gospel. The chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders. Now, the last two verses of the previous chapter says, it's pretty much the same thing, and he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests, again, and the scribes, and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. Instead of being thankful that he was preaching, that he was bringing the glad tidings, the good news, they tried to destroy him. And he said that they could not find that, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. So they tried, in verse 2, it says, and spake unto him, as he was preaching, and he says, tell us, by what authority doest thou these things, or who is he that gave thee this authority? They didn't realize that he was the authority, that he was the Son of God. They could not accept that fact. He was born in the manger, as we all know. He was carpenter's son. He wasn't known as they were expecting. They wanted the Messiah. They knew the Messiah will come, but they were expecting someone to come in the great glory, like a king. It would be known, perhaps from a rich family, a known family. They thought they would recognize him, and yet they did not realize that he was standing right in front of them. So they wanted to know who gave him this authority. You could not just walk in the temple and start teaching unless you were a priest or one that was ordained to preach in the temple. And they knew that he wasn't educated. You know, in those days, it's not like today, we all have our own Bibles in so many different languages. Back then, only the priests and the scribes and Pharisees, and they were the ones that had the Bible. They were the ones that were learning and studying, and they were the ones that were able to teach and preach. And yet, Jesus walks in without any education, without studying, as they thought that he wasn't studying. At least he wasn't studying in their circle, their schools. And he walks in and he starts preaching. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the New Testament. He's the author of the whole book that we have before us. I read somewhere it says, knowing God is one thing, or knowing Bible, I should say. Knowing the Bible is one thing. Many people can know the Bible. They can read, memorize it. Knowing the Bible is one thing, but knowing the author of the Bible is another thing. Knowing God and Jesus Christ personally is what we need to know. It's good to know the Bible. It's good to read the Bible, and we need to. But we have to know who the author is and have him in our heart. You know, when Jesus was born, he had no place in the inn. It was no place for him. And we, as people, as humans, we are the innkeepers. Do we have room for him in our heart? It's up to us whether we want to receive him or not. There are many that reject Jesus even today. You tell them, you have no room in my heart. There are still many people that reject him as the people in his time did. So when they ask him this question, who gave you this authority? Instead of answering, he said, I will ask you a question too. He says, and answer me. He said, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Now, verse 5, it says, they reasoned with themselves. Now, they did not say this out loud. But Jesus knew their hearts. He knew, he knows our thoughts too, as he knew the thoughts of those men. So these two verses, or this verse number 5, 5 and 6, when they reasoned, those were their thoughts that Jesus knew. They were thinking within themselves. They would not say that to him. So they were thinking within themselves, saying, well, if we say it was from heaven, it was obviously, it was a good question. So if he was from heaven, why didn't you believe him? Because they were scribes and priests and they were supposed to be supposedly God's people. But if we say of men, they were afraid of men because many people believed that John was a prophet and that John was sent from God to teach the baptism and to baptize people. So they did not want to answer. Whichever way they would answer, they would be guilty. If they would say from heaven, well, they did not believe. Why not? Then there would be another question on top of the first question, and they couldn't answer. They wouldn't be able to answer that one either. But if they said men, they were really afraid of people that they would stone him. And they probably would. It didn't take much in those days to stone someone. So they said, we could not tell if the baptism of John was from heaven or of men. So then Jesus tells them the same thing. I won't tell you either by what authority I do these things. And then he tells them the story. And they realized that this story was for them, about a certain man that planted a vineyard, and so on, as I already mentioned a little bit. But they didn't want to hear that story either. At the end of verse 16, they said, when Jesus said that he shall come and destroy the husbandman and shall give the vineyard to others, and they said, God forbid. God forbid that he would take that from them, God's people, and give it to others And yet, they rejected him. They did not accept him as the Messiah, as the true Messiah that came to save the whole world. Then Jesus reminds them what's written in the Old Testament. He says, the stone which the builders, which were Israelites, Jewish people, rejected, the same stone, is become the head of the corner. And whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So here again, the chief priests and the scribes, instead of realizing and admitting and repenting and changing, it says the same hour they again tried to lay hands on him, but again they feared the people. They realized that this parable was against them. So they decided to do something else, something a little bit different. They sent people, it says in verse 20, so they watched him, they were constantly watching him, and they were following him, not to hear him, not to hear the words of life, but they were watching him so they can accuse him, to catch him in some kind of words, something that they can say, well, you said this, and he was wrong. And they couldn't find the fault on him, no matter how many times they tried. So they sent for spies, actors, people that would act like they're just men, that they were righteous. Again, they didn't have the faith, they didn't realize that Jesus knows their thoughts as he knows our thoughts, what we think. Even before we would say things, he knows. God sees all things and knows all things. So they sent spies to be around him and talk to him and act like they were righteous, that they really want to listen to him and that they want to follow him. But, of course, their reason was to deliver him to the power and authority of the governor. Even though we know this authority, earthly authority, and the governors had no power. Even when Jesus was delivered to Pilate, he told them that he had no authority unless he was giving unto him from above. God is the one that gives authority. So these spies, these actors that pretended to be just, they came up to him and said, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. So they're trying to say nice things to him, that we agree with you, you're right, you teach right, you have no respect of persons, but teach us the way of God truly. Now, if Jesus wouldn't have, if he did understand or know their thoughts, maybe he would think that these people might be right. Sometimes we get led away if someone comes and talks to us nicely, thinking that they might be just. But here Jesus, of course, knew what was their purpose. So they ask him a question. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? Should we give or should we not give? A good question. In their mind, it was a good question. And I'm not really sure what they were expecting, what kind of an answer from Jesus. But they were waiting for something where they can accuse him falsely, where they can say he blasphemed against Caesar or something. They were always looking for some kind of words or deeds that he would do where they can accuse him. Even when he healed the sick, instead of being happy and joyful that someone was sick, recently we heard about the blind man that was born blind. When Jesus healed him, what did the Pharisees do? Well, you healed someone on the Sabbath day? That's wrong. For them, that was important, Sabbath. Not the fact that this man was blind from his birth, could not see anything or anyone, and all of a sudden he can see clearly. Instead of being joyful and happy for him, they were upset with the man and with Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath. He's not from God. How can he be from God? He did this great miracle. That was the mindset of these people, supposedly God's people. They were the ones that knew the law. They knew God's will. They knew how loving God was. And yet they could not accept that. It was such a great envy and jealousy in their hearts. But here's a man that came poor, and yet that he would be the king, they could not accept that. So he says, is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But again, Jesus perceived their craftiness, and he said unto them, why are you tempting me? Show me the penny. And he says, whose image and superscription does it have? They knew, they've seen it many times, it's Caesar's. It's his. He was the one that was on there. He was the leader of the people, Romans, at that time. And he said unto them, well then, give that that belongs to Caesar, give it to Caesar. If it's his image on there, give it back to him. And unto God the things which be God's. And again, they were not able to catch him or to hold of his words. And even they themselves marveled. They were probably not expecting that kind of an answer from Jesus. They wanted something else so they can accuse him again and destroy him. We know that he did die, but he wasn't taken from the people as they wanted. He knew that he had to die for our sins. And so many times they tried to stone him and deliver him, but it wasn't their time until God allowed it. Until God allowed that day to come where he was betrayed by his own, by one of his own disciples, as we know it, for 30 pieces of silver. Judas Iscariot was so greedy that for 30 pieces of silver, which he did not even use at the end, even if he would have lived, if he would live for many years, he would still die and he would not be able to use those 30 pieces of silver or any money. And yet he betrayed the innocent blood. He actually committed suicide. He could not live with himself, realizing what he has done. He betrayed the innocent blood. Man who died for his sins and our own sins, the sins of the whole world. He did not just die for Israelites, but for all of us. He redeemed us. He gave us the name. As Apostle John writes, says, behold, what manner of love did God bestow upon us, so that we can be called the sons of God. Sons and daughters of God. Is there a greater name than this? God is so merciful, so kind, so loving. And I hope and pray that we all realize it every single day, how blessed we are. One of the songs, it says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you will be surprised what the Lord has done. I think if we would truly count every day all the blessings that we receive from God, I think that's all we would be doing every day, is just counting. I don't think we fully realize, I know I don't, how blessed we are. Sometimes, and I know I do, take things for granted. But God is so, so merciful unto each and every one of us. He watches over us, guides us, and leads us, and provides all the things that we need so that we can prosper in faith, so that we will not go back, but stay on this road. It's not an easy road, but it leads to heaven. It does lead to heaven. So let us be faithful unto God and keep that true shepherd in our heart and our mind, that we would always be willing and able to follow him and follow his commandments. And we hear many times the commandments which are not grievous. Even though Satan is trying very hard to destroy us and confuse us, just like the Pharisees and scribes, they wanted to destroy Jesus, Satan is trying to destroy us also. You know, the Bible says that he's the father of lies. That means, as a father, he has sons too. So there are many that work for him. And Satan comes many different ways unto us. He tries to confuse us and to take us back where we came from, so that we would be blind again, that we would be without hope again, that we would reject God and his mercy. But since we know his craftiness, we know what his plan is, may we trust in God and ask God every single day when we pray to give us the strength, to give us the mindset that would not go back, but that we would always think about. As Apostle Paul says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. Let us meditate on the heavenly things, not the earthly things. But meditate and think about the heavenly things, the promise that God gave unto us. He says, there are many mansions in my Father's house, Jesus said. I go to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I would tell you so. I go to prepare a place for you. So after he died and resurrected, he went to prepare a place for us. And he still sits at the right hand of God. He is interceding for all of us. And for you, my dear friends, that are still outside of God's heritage, I pray that your eyes would be open, that you would see clearly, and that you would have ears that would listen to God's message, that you would read and meditate, and that you would be able to leave this vanity, this world. It's truly vanity. It's emptiness. There's nothing in this world. It's all temporary. The prayer is that you would be able to, with his help, leave and forsake the emptiness that is in this world, that you would be able to pick up your own cross and follow the footsteps of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you will not walk alone. If we would walk alone, we would be lost. We would go astray. We will be completely lost. But we follow Jesus, we follow his message, his will, his commandments. You know, God gave us the commandments and we understand them and we want to live by them. But we do need help. We need guidance every single day. That's the reason we pray every day, for God to help us, to provide for us the necessary things that we need so that we would be victorious, that we would win the battle against Satan. Because he's constantly throwing the fiery darts. He's trying to wound us and kill us, completely destroy us every single day. The Bible says that we need to put the whole armor, not just a shield or just a sword or just a helmet, but the whole armor, to protect our whole body, whole being. And we need the sword, the word of God, so that we can fight the enemy and so that we can win. And the salvation that God is promising unto us, nobody can promise. Only God. So let us be faithful to His blessed word. And may we always pray for courage, understanding, wisdom. The wisdom that comes from above, not the earthly wisdom, but the one that comes from God, our Heavenly Father, who gives it to us freely. And He wants us to have the wisdom so that we can understand His will, so that we can follow Him and be obedient to Him. May God bless His holy word. Amen.
During this time in Jesus' life, there were those that were trying to take His life. The chief priests and the scribes, they wanted to destroy Him. They were looking to take His life. They didn't like that what his message was and that He was taking the people away from them. But this morning we read about the time where Jesus did give His life. They didn't take it from Him. He gave His life. And Pilate tried to stop it this morning, as we read this morning, tried to stop that from happening, but he couldn't stop it. So there was a time for everything. There was a time when Jesus was to bring forth His message, and that He did. And then there was a time when Jesus was to give His life. God is in control. Jesus had the authority, and it was underneath His authority when He would give His life. And so we see that truth played out here in the readings that we had today. Then Jesus tells them and He tells us, render unto God the things which are God's. What are God's? What is God's? Is it not our heart? Is it not our life? Is it not our complete love and our giving of ourselves over to the Lord? When we give ourselves over to the Lord, everything we have is His. He uses us as He would have us to be used. And we have no greater affection for anything, even that coin that Caesar's image was on. That money that the Jews so much loved, these chief priests and the scribes, they so much loved. They despised having to give their money over to the publicans. That's where their affection, that's where their love lied. But for us, when we give our hearts over to the Lord, for us to pay taxes is not a problem. God gives, and whatever He gives unto us, we give in return. And we want to multiply that which God has given unto us by His love that He's given unto us, and we want to display that love to others as well. So that's where we can render unto God the things that are God's, our hearts. Our lives, our affections, and everything. We give that over to the Lord and let Him use us. So may God bless His word upon our hearts that we so richly heard in this day. Amen.